something
that absolutely just completely revolutionizes the way we think.
Yeah.
And so this morning, I want you to open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29:11. And in this verse, there is so much in this verse for us to grab hold of. And it reads like that. I'm gonna go, because of time, I want to get to this message. I don't want to finish. I want to finish this message. I don't want to get to 12 o'clock and say, okay, kick off.
Take your time.
All right?
Take your time. We need...
For I know the plans I have for you, the Lord says. It says, declares the Lord. I want you to say the word declares. There's something about declaration. There's something about when we declare things.
Yeah.
He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you.
Right.
Plans to give you a hope and a future. Everybody say future.
Future.
Now, because God has already declared that we have a great future, we should believe it.
Yeah.
We should grab a hold of it.
Yes.
We should also declare it. You see, your future is not something that's ahead of you. It's something that's inside of you.
Amen.
If you can get that this morning, I think you're going to walk away with something.
Come on.
It's not what's ahead of you. I know we read the scripture and say, oh, one day in the future. One day, I'm gonna get a good job. One day I'm gonna find a rib. One day I'm gonna pastor a church. One day I'm gonna be blessed. One day I'm gonna get that car. One day I'm gonna buy a house. One day I'm gonna get a raise. One day I'm gonna get elevated to leadership. One day. No. Your future is already inside of you. It's in there. All it's waiting for is for you to bring instruction to it. All it's waiting for you is for you to speak in faith that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Is there any third wavers in the house this morning? Oh, I believe there's a lot of third wave. No, I'm part of the second wave. Joshua generation. And you remember what Caleb said? I might look a little old, but I'm just as strong today as I was when I first started. Now, in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, I really want to just, I'm going to help you catch up to me, okay? Now, Numbers, chapter 13, verse 21. In the New King James Version, I like the way it reads, when Moses sent out the spies, this is part of the account. Numbers 13, 21 says, so they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Sheshai, Talmai, and the descendants of Anak were there. Those are the giants. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Now verse 23 reads like this. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch of one of the clusters of grapes, and they carried it in between two of them on a pole. Now, I know you've seen pictures, you've heard stories, but think about it. If you have to have two guys carry a cluster of grapes between each other on a pole, that tells you those grapes were pretty big. Now, I've understood that the original language talks that they were so big, they were like the size of cantaloupes. And I purchased, when I was in Israel a number of years ago, me and Sister Barbara, I purchased a piece of art that is built on some of the rock that's right there in that same region right there. And then there's a couple of, you know, Caleb and Joshua I think it had to be Caleb and Joshua because all the other 10 were complainers.
And
they came back with a bad report, so it had to be them that brought the goods back. And so think about it. This thing I have right there in my office is this big cluster of grapes that almost fall off, the tip of them almost hit the ground, and they're big like that. And you know, this one has it's lined with gold and silver. We purchased it back in 1995 when we were there, and I like to keep it right there because I like to remind myself that my future's inside of me and not ahead of me.
Come on.
The Bible says here that they also brought some pomegranates and figs. I'll never forget when we saw the figs were like this.
Wow.
Usually you buy a fig, it's like that. This big figs. And so the fruit, we've seen the fruit with our own eyes. But when you read about it here, you have to understand that there it was what they saw there was what belonged to them.
Amen. Wow. Amen.
What they saw is what rightfully belonged to them. What the difference between the two spies and the 10 spies is the 10 didn't believe that what they were seeing belonged to them. They thought it belonged to the giants. But the two realized that those giants were camping out. They were offsides. They were trespassing.
Amen.
That was not their land. That belonged to Joshua and Caleb. The 10 spies thought that they owned that land, that they were visitors. But on the contrary, they weren't visitors. They were going to see what rightly belonged to them. And sometimes we think the same way. We walk around the city we live in. We walk in the church we go to. We walk to the job where we work at. We walk into our homes where our family's at. And sometimes we give the enemy room to believe that he's running the show at our house. He's running the show. The man's running the show at your job. But I'm here to declare to you and wake you up this morning and let you know that your future is inside of you. All you have to do is declare it. See, these two right here, they had something. The Bible says here the place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. In other words, it made a difference. There was something about that cluster. They said, oh, my goodness, whatever came out of there, look at that cluster of grapes. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now when they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel, verse 26, in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, and they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, how many of those always said nevertheless-ers? Look what it ends with. Nevertheless. Wow. Always less. We serve a more than enough God.
Amen.
We serve a more than God, not a less than God. But nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Now, the Bible says then something happened right here. This is where I want to get to right here. This has got to be you. The Bible says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. Or in the original language, Caleb shut the people's mouth. He quieted them. And he said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are all well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out. Isn't it crazy how you can look at the same thing as somebody else and you can say how awesome that is and somebody else says, I don't see that.
Come on.
Let me tell you something now. Joshua and Caleb saw what belonged to them. And I'm going to say it again. These other 10 spies, they saw what looked like belonged to the giants. You see, Joshua and Caleb saw the giants. The Bible says they saw the same thing they saw there. They knew they were the sons of Anak. They knew they happened to be bigger than them. They knew that they looked like they owned that land. They looked like it. How many know the Bible says that the devil runs around like a lion, like a roaring lion. He roams around like a roaring lion. But he's not a lion. He runs around like one. And they knew. They saw the same thing. Joshua and Caleb saw them. They could have said, oh yeah, we concur. Man, I don't know, man. It's going to take an army. I don't know. We got some grapes here, but these guys right here, there's no way we can take them. No, on the flip side, Caleb says, wait a minute. Shut up. In the famous words of Philip the Crew Sr. Shut up. Something like that. Like, I can't do as high as him. But he says, these guys right here, yeah, they live there. But we're about to go take them out of there because they're camping out on my land. They're living where I'm going to build my house.
There it is.
Come on now.
The Bible says, there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak. They came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. See, whatever you think about yourself, whatever you think about your ministry, whatever you think about your city, is what it's going to be. Yeah. If you think, oh, this city, I don't know if we can reach this city. Oh, it's too much poverty. Oh, it's too much violence. No, 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 no. There's a new sheriff in town. God sent you to Grand Prairie. God raised you up in this city so you can bring a light. Listen, the vision of Victory Outreach brings hope, man. We bring the light to the cities of darkness. The Bible says that I will give you the treasures out of darkness, those riches hidden in secret places. You have to understand, if God set you up here, that means he's going to give you the land. I don't care what giants live here. Listen, let me tell you something right now, that those giants will be just like anything else. They're coming down, down, down. Now, Caleb, the reason why I know, you might say, why would Caleb be able to be so strong in his speech and so strong? It's because Caleb knew who he was. Victory Outreach, Grand Prairie, do you know who you are? Do you know who you represent? You represent the King of Kings, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who went to the cross, who left heaven, came to the cross, died, was buried, resurrected 3 days later, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's coming back again. That's the simple gospel message. And Victory Outreach International, Victory Outreach in Texas or in New Mexico, wherever you're at, that's the gospel that we preach. We preach the power of God's word that is able to set free. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. God will set you free and set your feet upon a rock and raise you up and see what God does. But you got to believe who you are. Caleb knew who he was. He didn't have any doubt in his heart. He believed the promises of God. Do you believe in the promises of Isaiah 45, 2 and 3? Do you believe in the promises of Isaiah 54, 2 and 3? And you know, if you're part of the third wave, you better get 59, verse 21 in your spirit, because that's who you are. If God's already told us that we have a great future, why don't we act like we got a good future? Like we're already blessed. Like it's already coming. Like it won't be long now. We're not spinning our wheels. We're going someplace. We're not just in the same place going round and round. We're making progress going forward. Somebody shout amen. I believe there's at least three reasons why this happens. I believe that a lot of people deny themselves of their future because they think their future is way ahead of time instead of believing and understanding that it's inside of us. And when we believe it, it propels us. When we believe it, it elevates the way we think. Listen, that's what causes us to relentlessly pursue the vision, is that it's inside of us, not something we're chasing. You know, I don't know if you're going to get that or not. It's not something you're chasing. It's something that gets inside of you.
Yes.
You see, number one, I believe that one reason is difficult circumstances or trials or trouble or pain or some kind of a crazy situation that you go through. Those seasons of difficulty and change, those trials, those times of obscurity, those times when you're all alone and you feel broken and rejected. I want you to know you're not alone. There's many examples around you in leadership, around you in our ministry, that have been through those same things and have pressed forward, believing in their heart for the vision, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that the future is inside of us, not ahead of us. Come on, somebody. That's why you always have to speak to your future. You need to give your future instruction and say, future, I'm letting you know that I'm coming. I'm letting you know that I'm fasting. I'll let you know that I'm praying. I'll let you know I'm walking in the promises of God. Future, I want you to know something right now, that you're under instruction.
Come on.
I think about Joseph. I'm not going to camp out there and I'm not going to read, but I think of the character of Joseph. Think about Joseph's obscurity and his aloneness and his brokenness. It was everyone. He was in his own household. He was in obscurity. He was alone in his own household. When he was in the pit, he was alone. When he was at Potiphar's house, he was alone. When he was in the prison, he was alone. And even when he was in Pharaoh's house, he was alone. Even when he was second in command to none other than Pharaoh, he was alone because his family was far back. The Bible says when he finally saw his brothers, he wept. He was broken because there was such a brokenness because he missed his family so much. And you know what's crazy is that they treated him horribly, but he still loved them. He still went after them. He was rejected by them. Huh? He had to face his trials alone. He was alone. He was as a slave. And even when he's promoted, man, he had those dark times, those lonely times. How about you? You know those times, those dark. You might even be in a lonely time right now. You might be around a lot of people, but in your heart, there's some dark things going on. There's some loneliness going on. Let me tell you something about lonely times. David understood what it was to go through lonely times when he was in the cave of Adullam. He knows, man, he was all alone. All he was trying to do is do what God told him to do. He was anointed. The prophet came and anointed him. At his daddy's house, in Jesse's house. He was anointed to be the next king, but he was only 15 years old. It took 15 years before he became the king. He lived in obscurity. At first, everybody shouted his name, and before you didn't know it, he was on the run, alone, broken. In fact, he was so broken that he became like a magnet to other broken people, other lonely people. And that's the good thing that can happen when you're lonely and obscure, and you're all by yourself, and you feel like you're the only one. God will start bringing people to you. Now, sometimes in the world, the devil will try to bring other people to you to get you in more trouble. But when you're in the things of God, God will take other people that understand brokenness and loneliness, and they'll bring them to you. And you know what you guys are going to say? You know what? We can get out of this thing, man. We're not going to stay right here. One day, and you start to give your future instructions instead of your future looking like it's in the distance. When you wake up in the morning, you realize, see, God elevated him, promoted him through his obscurity, through his trial, through his difficult times. It is through those times that God builds us. It's those times that God builds our lives. Don't despise those times of loneliness, those times of questioning. Don't despise that, because that's where you're being built at. That's the time where every God's putting all the pieces together. You see, it's hard to see the season of God's favor when you're in the storm, but it's in the storm where God teaches you how to fly higher. Don't forget that God has a blessing for you in your storm. Don't forget that God is able to do something when everything looks like it's crazy. That's when God works best. It seems to me that in my life, I've been saved 32 years serving the Lord. My wife was serving the Lord 10 years before I was. And I want you to know that even in the biggest storms of our life, we realize now that's when God built us. That's why we were able to just recently in July celebrate 42 years of marriage. Because you know what? Like a tree stands strong, God has had us to stand strong. Why? Not just for ourselves, but for our children and our children's children and for other people, so they can see that God can keep you. Listen, the enemy might kind of come and deceive you and lie to you and tell you ain't got nothing in common and you ought to go see a lawyer. But I got some news for that demon right there. That you need to stomp on that demon and say, no. If they can do it, then I can do it. You got to speak to your future. You got to give instructions. Our founders are looking for those that believe the promises. We want to take the world for Jesus. We need more leaders, more soldiers. We need more pastors. We need more missionaries. We need more directors. We need more ministers. For those who are sold out to the vision that God has given us. For those who will dare to speak to their future like Joshua and Caleb spoke to their future. For with those with a pioneering spirit, yeah, you may be a third waver or a Joshua generation, but I'm going to tell you something right now. You can still pick up the pioneering spirit even in the third wave.
It's good.
You can walk simultaneously, walk in the now. Right now. You can say, future, my future is in me right now. And all I'm going to do is instruct it where it's got to go. Through prayer and through the leading of my leaders too. See, God wants to raise up future leaders in our ministry. And I see them right here in Grand Prairie, Texas. One thing I've learned in the past 32 years is that a leader must be able to concentrate under difficult situations, under difficult conditions. I'm not sure if the last time I was here, I let you know that at one time for 11 years, I was a city firefighter in the city of Albuquerque. And I know some of you say, well, yeah, but I heard you were a drug dealer and drug addict. Well, that's I was, and I was doing those things while I was a fireman. I grew up like that, somehow snuck into the academy, became a firefighter, and I didn't stop dealing drugs. In fact, Sister Barbara thought, she told me, she goes, now that you're a firefighter, you have a legit job with good money, and you have prestige, and you have a uniform now, you can stop doing that. She goes, yeah, I can. But I didn't. But I kept on doing it and doing that. It's just a miracle I didn't get busted, a miracle that I didn't die. You know, and so I think about those things, and I think about how we were taught in the academy, and I was taught in my training as a Navy CV as well. I was taught that when you go old in craziness, and even in the neighborhood, my uncles and the older guys in the neighborhood, they taught us when things get crazy and there's a fight, you got to keep your head. So everywhere I've ever been all my life, it's like under difficult circumstances, keep your head, keep your heart straight. Make sure you know what's coming with your way, because if you're just in a crazy, losing your mind and yelling, you're not going to see it coming. And I saw that in the fire department many times when I would be in a very difficult fire, in a very, very crazy place. I would tell some of the rookies or some of the younger firefighters, listen, when it gets hot, and it's going to get hot, don't you run on me. When it gets hot, whatever you do, don't freak out, man. Don't get all crazy. You just keep your head. And I saw that happen where guys got lost their mind and yelled and tried to run out. And, you know? And I could go on and on about that, but you got to keep your head during difficult seasons. You say, well, I got a word on Sunday, and man, my future's going to be good. And then you run into a trial next Friday, and all of a sudden it just leaks out. It just leaked. It's like, what happened to it? It went down the river. No! That's when you got to get some super glue, some Holy Ghost super glue, man. You got to get some, you got to patch it up. Say, it ain't leaking out of me. Oh, this trial ain't leaking. Come on. I talked to somebody this morning. So the psalmist wrote in chapter 119 of Psalms, in the New Living Translation, he wrote this. He said, my suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. Sometimes we don't pay attention, do we? Our difficulties not only reveal our natural weakness, but if we respond properly, they provide us with the opportunity to see God's awesome power demonstrated on our behalf. Man, I think about the Apostle Paul, man, the way he learned that God was sufficient in his insufficiencies. Every time he was shipwrecked, every time he was stoned, man, they tried to kill him, they left him for dead. He learned that his weakness and dependency was as an excellent backdrop upon which we display God's strength. This is the way God likes it. God used Paul to show that in his weakest times, God showed up the most. Yes. And if you look back, it's when you were in your weakest times, it's when God showed up. So why aren't you speaking to your future? Why aren't you saying, wait a minute, I've been through something like this before. I can't believe I'm acting like this.
Come on.
Speak to your future. Tell it where it's got to go. Let it know I'm the head and not the tail. I'm blessed in the city and in the field. I'm blessed when I come and when I go, period. Every time I turn around,
come on.
I'm blessed.
Yeah.
Give your future instructions. It's waiting.
Yes.
Your future is waiting for you to tell it where to go.
Yes.
If you say, I don't know, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, then your future's just hanging out saying, you know. But if you look at your future and you say, future!
Yeah.
I want you to know this.
Yeah.
That I believe that the promise I have is coming to pass.
Yes.
No matter what it looks like. Another reason, a second reason, is a lack of faith. Faith is established conviction concerning things that are unseen and settled expectation of a future reward. Oh, you better get that. Let me say that one more time. faith is established conviction concerning things that are unseen and settled expectation of future reward. It takes faith to believe for what we can't see with our natural eye. Come on, somebody. One of the characteristics of a big faith is the enthusiasm we have. Listen, you've got to, I'm not saying fake it till you make it, because I don't think you can fake it till you make it. I think what I'm saying is you have to have enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. So you know what? It may not look like everything's good right now. I may be at the bottom of the totem pole at my job, but it won't be long until I'm running this place. It won't be long until God raises me up. It won't be long until God gives me a job where I'm making three times the amount. I'll be faithful right here for right now. I'll show up every day. I'll go ahead. But you know, one day.
Come on.
It's inside of me.
Come on.
They told me I couldn't, but inside of me says I can.
Yes.
See, it can often compensate. You know, enthusiasm can. Somebody once said that enthusiasm is faith set on fire. And it can compensate for a lack of money and talent and all that. I'm gonna tell you right now, I don't got a lot of talents, man. But you know what? My enthusiasm and my faith, it compensates for all that. And so you need to understand some, what's inside of you is bigger than what you can see.
Wow.
It'll show in your face. It'll charge your future, man. There's one thing about a man or woman of God, I don't believe, there's going to be times when you're going to go through things, and man, we're going to pray with you. We don't want everybody to feel like, oh, well, I can't even show my feelings. If I do, people are going to think I've got no enthusiasm, but that's okay like once in a while, but not like every time. All day, every day. Can you pray for me? What I'm going through. Okay, yeah, but in the name of Jesus, Father, you got excited then. And the next service, hey, can you pray for me? Like, when are you going to walk in and pray for somebody else? That's okay, we'll pray for you. We're not trying to say we're down you because you're going through it. Man, people go through it. I've been through it. I've needed people to come. I've needed to go to an altar call at Mighty Men of Valor, a world conference, and weep and break, and I'm talking about, and not have no tissue. Broken. Lay hands on. I need that too. But not every conference.
Come on now.
Not every service. Yeah. Not every Sunday, every Wednesday. I've got to be able to walk into church and say, oh, I was all messed up yesterday. But I got along with Jesus down by the riverside. I was down there just talking to the Lord. I put my favorite song on, and I said, I'm going to do exactly what my pastor taught me. I'm going to pray, and I got a breakthrough. And I'm not the same anymore. I don't know. And you walk into that door, and I say, who needs prayer? The worship starts, and you're getting down. You don't got to be cheerleading with the pom-poms. Or you're just up there. Just excited. There comes a time when you gotta be enthused.
Yes.
And some of you gonna be enthused today, the game for the game, right?
Come on.
And paint your face and put a star right there. Wise men still follow the star. I know there's some, I'm sure there's some non-cowboy fans here today.
Oh, yeah.
But I got the mic. You see, the people didn't believe what God had promised them, but Caleb and Joshua believed. Can you come to the keyboards? God had already declared it, but they lacked faith, man. You know, I can understand lacking faith. There's been times. But I've learned too much. God's too good. He's too good. We went without a building for 10 years.
Wow.
We were in high schools. We lost hundreds of people from our church. And I understand what it is to like have your faith weigh on you. Recently, my granddaughter, we got a bad report about her eyes. And my mother-in-law, God rest her soul, she went home to the Lord about 4 or 5 months ago. My wife's mama. She had a really bad degenerative eye disease. We got a bad report with my granddaughter. And we thought it's exactly the same thing. And we just, it hit us, man. It hits hard. Me and my wife, we just like, no. We said, okay, God, what's our plan? We began to pray. We asked our church to start praying. We just got a miracle this week.
Amen.
We got a miracle report this week from God. We said, wait a minute. we're not going to receive that curse of that disease. We're not going to do it. We're not. We're going to believe God that she's whole. And we've received a good report.
Yes.
Unbelief will never see beyond difficulties. Unbelief sees walled cities and giants instead of the presence and power of God and the grapes. I mean, they didn't make one mention, say, they're giants, but man, I'm kind of like with Joshua and Caleb, because man, we don't got this kind of fruit in the desert, man. You should see it a lot. It's bad. It's bomb. It's, oh, I can't wait to, nothing. They just lost it. They had been so long believing the lie. They'd been so long with no faith. See, Joshua and Caleb were willing to do the unpopular thing and call the people to positive faith. They led the way into the future by confirming the negative report by saying, shut up. What's wrong with you? And helping a new generation rise to serve God in faith.
Amen.
A third wave generation.
Yes.
They were establishing a new standard of faith.
Yes.
If you're the third wave, if many of you are the third wave, that third wave does as much in age.
Yeah,
if you just got saved this last year or two or 3 years, and I know there's a lot of people like that because it's a newer church. That means you're a third waver.
Yeah.
You need third wave faith.
Yeah.
You gotta have third wave faith. Number three, the last reason is fear. And I'm not gonna camp out here too much, but I think we know 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind.
Amen.
You know what it means to have a sound mind? Let me refer back to being a firefighter. And it could be the same thing in a gang fight. It could be the same thing in any kind of hot situation. Is that when you're in the middle of the crazy crisis, the heat's hot, that's when you have to keep your head the most. That's where you can't let fear grab, because then you won't have a sound mind and you'll make the wrong decisions. You'll say things to yourself that literally tell you, I'm going to die, I'm going to burn, I'm not going to make it. Instead of saying, I'm going to do exactly what my training said to do. I can't breathe. Get on the ground. There's a layer about this far that the smoke will not hit the ground.
Wow.
You get down as low as you possibly can so you can get the good breath. And if you have to get up, you get up, get up. But if not, you can crawl out.
Wow.
I was taught by the OGs.
Come on.
So if you get in a situation like that, don't start running around everywhere. Just follow the hose out. Because the hose came in.
Yeah.
That means the hose goes out.
Amen.
It's common sense, but I saw it with my own eyes. I saw it at very hot fires where guys started running around, getting stuck places because they lost their minds. They got full of fear that they're going to burn. It was so hot that they thought they were going to burn. So what they did is they started getting crazy, trying to find a panic way out instead of going down to the ground and just grabbing the hose and just and coming out the door and just, it's hot in there. Because they lost their sight. They didn't have a sound mind. That's what fear does to you. Fear rattles your mind to the point where you can't think straight anymore and you don't believe anymore. Is there to eradicate your faith. So if God and Jesus wants us to not have fear, if Paul wrote to young Timothy saying, Timothy, there's a revival coming. God's using you too powerfully there in Ephesus. And you need to realize that when fear comes to you, you got to cast it down because God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. And you're gonna, fear's going to come because it's a thing that comes naturally. But you're going to have to say to fear, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That means I'm going to love when things are crazy. I'm going to walk in God's power no matter what, because that's what's inside of me. If I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, then that means I got power in me. I'm going to walk in power. And if God has said that He wants to give me that, then I'm going to walk in that. I'm going to walk in a sound mind. When I got to make a decision, I'm not going to make it out of panic. I'm going to make it out of prayer. Come on, somebody. Fear is a spirit that does not come from God. It is unnatural and should not be tolerated at any level. It is a spirit. He said you should have a spirit of fear. It should not be tolerated, but yet we all, as human beings, it tries to get in us.
Wow.
It tries to jump in our hearts.
It's good.
God told Joshua, do not fear, I'm with you. Same thing He told, Paul told Timothy. God says, Moses, my servant is dead. Now I want you to go do this and don't have fear. Be strong and courageous. You need courage when you're facing fears.
Yes, yes.
Your future is on the other side of the river. Joshua had to speak to his future. Caleb had to speak to his future. He had to say, future, everything you have for me belongs to me. So I declare it. The land, the fruit, my house is on the other side of the river. My grandchildren will rule on the other side of the river. My great-grandchildren, when I am long gone, when I'm no longer, let me tell you, the vision of Victory Outreach outlives you. When you're long gone, your descendants, out of Isaiah 40, 59, 21, listen, your descendants will still be living in the vision. Why? Because the vision is bigger than us. The vision is the vision that Jesus Christ set for this ministry to reach the inner cities of the world. He gave us this hope, this future, and all you got to do is speak to your future and give it instructions. Fear was creating division amongst all those Israelites, between those 12. Fear was, the devil's always trying to break unity. Don't you ever let the devil break your unity in this ministry, in this church. Unity is a weapon. It empowers us. We're stronger together. The success of our vision requires unity. That's why it's united we can. We accomplish more when we're in unity than when we're by ourselves. Look, even David was by himself for a moment, and what happened? God sent him about a bunch of ragtag.
Come on.
Bunch of guys in the same positions. He wasn't, all of a sudden there's about 400 or 500 of them right there in that cave saying, what are we all doing here? He goes, why do I want to be with you guys? And God says, I brought them to you. Because you need unity. See, doubt creates little people. I said, great, doubt creates little people. The 10 spies were like, oh, they're giants. And Caleb and Joshua, they like elevated. When they saw the land, they go, oh, the future. They heard Moses speak of the future. They heard of the vision from Abraham that one day, that the vision, the land, the promised land, the land of milk and honey, was going to be, the descendants were going to be so many, you couldn't count them to the stars or the sand of the seashore. They had heard all those. They had kept that vision inside of them. So when they saw it, their faith made them big.
Wow.
They made them like eye to eye with the giants. Even though they were still looking, but they were still eye to eye. Like, I'm going to take you out. You're on my land.
Come on.
This belongs to me. Yeah. You've been living here too long. Listen, you've been renting. You ain't even leasing. You've been renting. But I'm about to put a get out of town kind of sign on your door right now. See, faith makes us big for the task, bigger than the opposition.
Wow.
1 Corinthians 2:9, another familiar scripture. It says written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep Spirit. Your future is dependent on you, Victor Average Grand Prairie. Your future is depending on you. Our future as a ministry is dependent on what you do next. You know, our future, it's great, right? Because of people like you. People that want the vision. People that are willing to give the way you did to run for hope.
Amen.
To stretch like you stretched. To be like you are. So start speaking to your future.
Yes.
Your future is begging for instructions. You understand what I'm saying this morning? This is not just any sermon. I believe God had me come here to let you know to wake up your future. To speak for you to wake up and say, wait a minute. Future! I'm about to start giving you instructions. No longer am I going to live beneath where I've been living at. No longer am I going to think the way I've been thinking about myself. I'm not going to think of my ministry as just some inner city. We are the biggest inner city ministry in the world. And God has raised us up for a reason. For a reason. Because he knows what's happening. Call those things that are not as if they were. Expect God's favor in your future. Decide all the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Close your eyes, would you? Just lift your hands all over this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God has already declared that you have a great future. All you have, your future is just begging for instructions, ladies and gentlemen. If God already has told us that He has a great future for us, then why don't we look to the future like it's already done, like it's already blessed? Why are you worrying? You don't gotta worry. Listen, though, I don't know amount of difficult circumstances or no amount of lack of faith or fear can get in your way. If you can look at your future, you see, you know, the future is depending on what you say today. This altar call is the beginning of an altar call that should begin to give you everything you need starting today to start speaking to your future and say, no more. I need your presence, God. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the Spirit of Christ. I need God's Word to fuel my spirit so that I can look at my future and I can give it instructions that this is where I'm going. I'm going ahead. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the lender and not the borrower. I'm blessed in the city, I'm blessed in the field.